Hi, folks. Welcome back to On Call with Insignia, where we go on call with leaders innovating the future of Southeast Asia's internet and digital economy, or as we like to call it, ASEA Innovation. Before we go on call, don't forget to follow our show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you're listening to podcasts. And you can follow us for daily content for founders and investors on Twitter at InsigniaVC and Instagram at Insignia_VC. Now let's head into the call. So in this episode, we'll be deep diving into the world of women's healthcare, femtech. And with us today, we have the co-founders of Ease, Guadalupe Lazaro and Rio Ho. So they're here with us today. And just a little bit on Ease, right? So Ease is a digital health startup focused on revolutionizing access to women's health by making it more convenient, affordable, and discreet. From birth control to emergency contraception, delivery to at-home STD tests and sexual health consultations, they can help manage your sexual and reproductive health from the comfort of your home. They just launched last year, actually, and in a little more than a year, they've already built a community of over 20,000 members. They've been featured in numerous publications, including Forbes, Straits Times, Today, and CNA. And recently, they've actually become part of the list of Forbes Asia top 100 companies to watch. And they were also cited in an article from Forbes in the top 52 femtech companies to watch globally. So just a little more on the founders themselves. Guadalupe Lazaro, or Guada, is the co-founder of Ease Healthcare. She's a serial entrepreneur and sexual and reproductive health rights advocate. Prior to Ease, Guada worked in business development and consulting from the UK to Singapore. She grew up working for women's health and women's rights, being involved with the likes of Red Cross and Amnesty International. And now she's married her passion for women's health and skills in UX and UI design, marketing and brand strategy at Ease. Meanwhile, Rio is a lawyer turned founder, holding a law degree from the University of Oxford and graduated as the university's top student in medical law. Prior to Ease, he had co-founded a social political media outlet in Singapore and worked at a leading global law firm, Clifford Chance. His entrepreneurship and law genes coming together now into Ease, where he manages its finance and operations. So once again, it's pretty clear that Ease is a really exciting company, up-and-coming company here in the femtech space, women's health space. So a really exciting company to have here on the podcast today, and we have the founders with us. So really excited to learn more about the space, learn more about the amazing work that they're doing, and get to know as well the founders, their leadership styles, their background, and what got them into Ease. So Rio and Guada, thanks for coming on the show. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Good. Thanks so much for inviting us.
I think to start, maybe share with us in our audience today, why did you decide to build a business in healthcare, specifically in femhealth or femtech with Ease?
Sure, yeah, maybe I can start with that. So we came up with the idea for Ease back in 2019, actually. It was inspired very much by our own personal experiences with facing stigma or barriers when trying to access sexual and reproductive health in Singapore, from uncomfortable encounters at the clinic, including feeling judged or receiving unwanted advice, to spending hours just queuing up for a birth control refill. So yeah, it was sort of my personal sort of experiences with this space.
Yeah, and these experiences made us realize the significant barriers to accessing sexual reproductive health services in Singapore and Asia that exist due to the prevailing cultural norms and existing infrastructure that still relies on face-to-face consultations in the clinic. So people often don't get the help they need due to the stigma, time, and cost involved. And we realized with technology, we could break down these barriers and revolutionize the ways in which we provide these services for people to access them much more conveniently and discreetly from the comfort of their home.
Yeah, and I think we noticed from the beginning that aside from providing a telemedicine platform and providing medication and consultations, we wanted to provide a space where people could ask questions, could get information, education. I think we noticed that there is a huge lack of awareness and discussion around sexual and reproductive health in Singapore, which does stem from the stigma surrounding these topics, right? So we wanted to provide a platform that's like so much more meaningful and where discussions and solutions can be attained.
That's great. And you guys have certainly gone a long way since you guys launched Ease back in mid-2020. So I would love to understand, and I'm sure our audience would love to learn more about what has been the biggest learning for you guys so far over the past few months since you've been running Ease. Maybe share with us if there are any specific scenarios that you have experienced in terms of expanding the growth that Ease has had and the impact it has had on Ease's customers.
Yeah, I think although we knew that there was a demand for these types of services, we were surprised by the level of need and appreciation and enthusiasm that the public received us with since we rolled out our services. Since our launch, we received endless messages pretty much every week from users sharing their past experiences accessing these services and how it might have been an intimidating or tedious process before and how we are changing that and how they appreciate that. So overall, I think we've learned that people are ready to speak up about these issues. They are ready to find solutions and take control of their health. and that there is a huge demand for all sorts of women's health issues to be accessed online. And a big learning, I think, for us was that we realized that people are inclined to use specialized digital health platforms like ours in contrast to generic ones who may not have the ability to provide the same level of specialized care and support that we can provide. So I would say those are the main learnings that we've gotten from about the space, the industry, and sort of what the needs of women in Singapore and the region.
Those are really great point. And pointing to the kind of journey that you have, I think one interesting aspect of that is that you guys really focused on learning specifically about the experiences of women and couples in Singapore and really catering your solution towards the Asian market, but still finding it relevant globally as well. And we've certainly found credence to that, and having raised that significant seed round, 1.3 million to our listeners, by the time you're hearing this podcast, you would have already known the news already. I'm curious to know, what are your thoughts on the factors influencing this trajectory, which you mentioned earlier in terms of women's health in Asia, specifically when it comes to venture-backed startups and innovation coming out of the space? How does it compare to other markets around the world? And what are the biggest takeaways from some of the comparables or some of the similar companies that you've seen in other markets?
That's a very good question. I mean, femtech as a whole is an extremely innovative and disruptive space. And it will bring a great deal of change to how women access, track, and improve their health and wellness, especially in Asia. And yeah, it's super encouraging to see so many startups in this space trying to improve women's lives in different ways. It's great to see more investors interested in investing in innovative solutions to provide, and the great amount of press coverage on this topic, which has raised a lot of awareness about its potential. So in terms of the core factors that sort of play a huge part in influencing the trajectory of femtech and women's health in Asia, it boils down to three core things. The first is an increase in awareness of the importance of women's health, and also a greater sensitivity towards the existing pain points that have restricted access to them, followed by, secondly, greater access to technology and the ability to understand and adopt technology to access women's health services and manage one's health and wellness. And finally, it's got to do with the rapid economic development and rising incomes across Asia, which has led to a decrease in tolerance to these existing barriers and pain points, and a corresponding increase in the willingness to pay for and try out innovative healthcare solutions. So together, we found that these contribute to the modern Asian society's willingness, knowledge, and means to access women's health services, fueling innovation and growth in the femtech space, which explains why this has become such a hot topic and why it's a growing and exciting sector to be looking into. In terms of the Asian market versus elsewhere, we do see clear differences in terms of how femtech startups approach femhealth in Asia versus markets like Europe and the US. So while the products and services are similar, the pain points are a bit different. So for example, in Asia, there is a greater demand amongst women for discrete access, judgment-free experiences, and education due to the existing landscape. Whereas in Europe and the US, the key priorities tend to be centered around affordability and convenience. At the same time, the branding and messaging that appeal to Asian women is different as compared to elsewhere, you know, bearing in mind the cultural differences. So as you can see, there are these, you know, common factors that tie these markets together, but also very subtle differences that make the deployment of femtech solutions quite different in these two spaces.
Given all these subtle nuances, as you mentioned, yeah, it seems that you've really managed to get into the market and really figure out what users and consumers need in terms of this space. I talked earlier about this really great community that you've put together, more than 20,000 members and growing. And now you're really building on top of that, right? Along with the seed round, they've also launched their app as well, which should be really exciting because it's no longer going to be focused on a specific single service or a single user journey, but there are many more possible applications now that you have like a mobile app involved. So what can users expect from the app, and especially things that they don't get to do with Ease currently or other apps in the same space?
So yeah, we're super excited about the app. The app has three key purposes. One is tracking, second is telehealth, and the third one is guidance. So the app includes features such as contraception tracking, symptom tracking, action plans that are meant to help guide you through specific situations, such as, for instance, forgetting to take a pill. It also has daily customized tips that are based on your symptoms. So basically, if you log, for instance, that you're bloating, we're able to provide you tips that are customized to that specific symptom so that you can improve your situation. It has telemedicine features such as video calling with doctors, chatting with the care teams. It has community forum in which you can interact anonymously. And it lastly has sort of achievements that are meant to keep you motivated to stay on top of your health. So there are a couple of reasons why our app is quite different from other apps in the market. One of them is that it's actually the most comprehensive contraception app in the market, as it allows you to track any type of contraceptive method, both hormonal and non-hormonal, such as condoms, IUDs, patches, rings, injections, pills. At the same time, it has an algorithm that is able to determine your level of protection depending on the contraceptive method that you use, the contraception logs that you input in the app, and also your symptoms logs. The second reason is quite different because it allows you not only to track a very comprehensive list of sexual and reproductive health symptoms such as bleeding or nausea or constipation, but it also allows you to track improvements in your health and wellness, such as lighter periods, reduced cramps, less acne breakouts, which is able to give you a more comprehensive vision of where you stand in terms of your health and well-being. And lastly, I think many trackers in the market allow you to track your period, track your ovulation, but we want to go one step further, which is to actually provide you customized insights based on that tracking, action plans based on that, to help you overcome those discomforts that you're experiencing and guide you through different kinds of situations. And also to provide you with actual solutions, such as, for instance, speaking to a doctor immediately if you're experiencing a specific kind of discomfort, or get your medication delivered within 4 hours, depending on your situation. So the idea is to provide this super comprehensive package of women's health services and features that are able to improve the women's health experience.
Yeah, the keyword here is comprehensive. But I think definitely the comprehensiveness of the app also comes from the fact that you guys have already built a certain advantage or ecosystem already within Singapore. So maybe you want to talk about that and how that also helps your current app launch.
Yeah, a big plus for us is the fact that the app will be integrated with our downstream infrastructure and then includes our existing network of doctors, clinics, and pharmacy providers. So this means that you can access all our products and services from your fingertips, just as you can do on our existing web platform. So that means also that if you realize from using the app that you may need to speak to a doctor, obtain medication, or would like further support or guidance, you can get the help you need right away from just a click of the button and access the entire network infrastructure that we've built over the past year to deliver the healthcare services to the consumer. So all in all, by developing this compelling digital product that's able to leverage on our existing infrastructure advantage, through the app, you're able to consolidate the different channels through which we can support you on your health and wellness by combining community, information, education, healthcare services, and ongoing support all in one place in a seamless and accessible manner.
I think it's pretty clear that the app is just really one way of scaling what you have already achieved and what you've already discovered in the market. As they say, go build an app, build a business, and then scale it with technology. Another thing that I'm interested that Rio mentioned about is also this whole existing network of doctors, clinics, and pharmacy providers. When it comes to bringing these stakeholders into your network, what is the value proposition for them to work with Ease?
When it comes to that, we always tell our partners that Ease really is the main front runner when it comes to women's digital health in Singapore in this modern age. And that's because we are really leading the transformation of how women's health services are understood and accessed, and are en route to developing the most comprehensive women's health and wellness tech platform, and also supply a huge range of innovative and important products and services for women, not just in Singapore, but the region as well. So our rapid growth and transformative vision presents this really attractive opportunity for medical industry stakeholders to play a central role in the future of women's health and benefit from all these rapid changes in this category of healthcare that we are constantly developing, constantly spearheading, and constantly creating innovations for future change.
It's a really great opportunity for the whole industry. Like, you can certainly create that win-win situation for everybody involved and bringing them forward into the future. Another part of the whole ecosystem that Ease is building, apart from the medical side of it, is also the whole content education, the community that we've been mentioning since earlier. I got to watch some of the TikTok videos as well, and they're really catchy and interesting. And importantly, they're also really educational, ranging from how to detect infections, STDs, and all the way until, you know, things like how to use a condom, for example. So what has been your approach to building a community around this content, right? And how does this community help the business long-term?
We build Ease as not just a telehealth platform, but a judgment-free space for people to share their experiences, to ask questions, and get the help that they need. And we are on a mission to empower individuals with knowledge and create meaningful communities. I think our approach has always been creating digital spaces where we allow the community to share their thoughts and experiences anonymously. And secondly, we've been building a lot of content that helps break down medical explanations or scientific concepts and stigmatize topics as well, into approachable and lighthearted content that is easily reshareable and allows you to pass on this knowledge to your community more easily. And that generates that domino effect, right? Having a community, it has been key, at least for us, and I think in general, to scale a business, because it helps in retaining people in the community and creating loyalty to the brand, because people trust and appreciate you as a brand and as a community, and they don't want to move out of it. It also helps with user acquisition as well, because it creates sort of excellent word of mouth. And it lastly, I think, helps you improve your services, because the community is very vocal about their user experience and what they want to get out of this experience, right? So they are able to help you provide that feedback that is very much needed, especially in D2C spaces. So community building and education have been the key pillars of our company. And I think as we scale, it will be even more part of building that process of growth.
Definitely when it comes to healthcare here in Southeast Asia, we're still at that point where a lot of education is involved in building that trust, and certainly having that community does all that. And I think the other important thing about having that community is it's also really fluid. So you know, it could exist on social media and it could exist also in your app as well. Yeah. It's really about people interacting with each other. And speaking of people, it's not just the customers and also the community that you build externally, but also the team, the people that you work with. What has been your approach to building and leading a team equipped to scaling Ease's ecosystem here in this part of the world?
Team building is so crucial to the growth of any startup, and to create capacity to scale and to create very robust offerings in your space. And our approach to building team has always been to hire people who not only have the experience, but are also really passionate about the mission and interested in making a change, because that's fundamentally what Ease is about. It's about the mission, it's about the change, it's about improving the status quo. And we believe that people who are passionate about mission will drive the solutions and innovation that help us scale our ecosystem and allow us to proceed to even greater heights as a company. In terms of leading a team, we focus a lot on objectives and key results, or OKRs. So this strategy works really well for us, because we want people to know across the company what the goals are of different teams, what are the key measurable results that could be taken into account to accomplish that. And it also gives transparency to what we do, encourages teamwork, and it keeps people motivated to always be going to the next level. And you know, we're very happy to see that we have seen really, really great work environment here. Everyone's really motivated and realigned at what this company is about.
Thanks for sharing that, Rio. One of the very special things about Ease is that you two as co-founders really complement each other. So how does that dream team work together? Is it the past experience that you guys have worked together as co-founders that really helps with how you built Ease today? And how have these respective fields that you've worked in previously influenced how you've built Ease together?
Sure, I can start with that. We embarked on this project together because from past experiences building other startups together as founders as well, we knew that we could work well. I think our skills happen to integrate very seamlessly. I'm more on the side of ideation, marketing, branding, innovation, user experience, and Rio's more on the side of tech, legal, operations, and management. We're lucky that our skill set is directly tied also to our academic backgrounds and past work experiences, so we're able to apply our knowledge from our uni times and also from our previous work experiences as well.
Yeah, I think the whole factor of complementing each other is super, super important. So before starting Ease, I was a corporate lawyer and Guada was a branding and marketing consultant. Right from the start, we knew that we had complementary skills, interests, and backgrounds. We knew what our strengths and weaknesses are. We knew how to allocate responsibilities, and also we know where our blind spots are, where our weaknesses are, but also where our strengths are and where we find ourselves most comfortable. And as a result of that, we were able to very quickly have a vision of how, you know, we are going to work together, how we're going to complement each other and build a really great company. And of course, we're very happy to see that vision being put into reality with Ease's growth over the past year.
I agree. You guys certainly complement each other. As you mentioned, you guys are really innovative, especially in this type of healthcare in this part of the world. Can you share with our listeners, how do you envision the women's health tech sectors in Asia moving forward in the next 5 years? And where do you see Ease as a company in this space?
Femtech and femhealth are finally getting the attention they deserve from the public, the media, investors, as industries powering long-awaited change in women's health and wellness. We envision more and more innovations, technologies popping up as time goes by, and more angles through which to approach the space to accompany a woman on her journey in life, from adolescence to pregnancy and menopause. So it's just a super exciting space to be in. And maybe Rio can share a little bit about how we see Ease moving into that space in the next couple of years.
When it comes to Ease specifically, what excites us the most is the direction we're going in terms of becoming a leader in the space, providing the most comprehensive women's health and wellness tech platform, products and services for women in the region. And this is a very important factor, right? The whole idea of a comprehensive platform, because we have seen people popping up here and there, approaching the topic of women's health from very specific angles, you know, trying to find sort of discrete standalone solutions, but having the right infrastructure to be truly supportive and truly changing access to healthcare takes much more than that. And that's why we aspire to become a one-stop platform that a woman can confidently rely on through different stages of life, whether it's doctor consults, product on their own shelves, to support her, or having the information she needs to make different decisions. All this seamlessly integrated in a single place, addressing all these various facets of healthcare and ensuring that at every stage of their life, we're there for them. I think that's a really crucial paradigm shift that underlies the EASE model. And it truly is the future of femtech and healthcare in the world.
That's a really great way to put it, Ryo. And it's been a really exciting conversation getting to see behind the curtain of the app that you just launched, which I'm sure existing users and new users as well will be excited to use. But let's get into our rapid fire round. So just some really quick questions, and you can share short and sweet answers as well. First up, what is the most understated misconception people have about women's health?
I can start. I think that a lot of people think that women's health is like a niche space. The market is actually half of the population, because women have a range of specific healthcare needs at all points of their life. So it's actually a lot larger than a lot of people think. But I think that with what we were discussing earlier, like how femhealth and femtech are getting a bit more awareness, people will start to see the potential for it.
Well, for me, I think a lot of people think that it's a women's issue, especially men think that it's only a women's issue. And this is often a result of overlooking how much they can and should contribute to this issue. So I think a lot of men don't understand that understanding their partner's needs and wants and being informed about sexual and reproductive health matters can really contribute significantly to destigmatizing these topics, promoting more informed decision-making, and also creating much more productive conversations with the partner. And that's something that's really important and really lacking today.
That's a really great way to look at it. Speaking of partners, any advice for early stage tech founders raising their first round?
Yeah, I think that while founder sort of background idea is super important, especially to demonstrate founder market fit, I personally think it's quite important to, especially in the D2C space, to look into your metrics from day one. And it is a way to show that you're not only prepared as a founder and you have a great idea, but you're also great at executing from the start.
As for me, yeah, I mean, when it comes to raising your first round, I think without doubt, choosing the right investor is key. And every founder should be looking for investors who are 100%, 110% aligned with your vision, able to support you and really bring to the table more than just financial support, right? Because as a founder, as a startup, you'll always be facing challenges along the way. And so you always need to find investors whom, you know, when the going gets really tough, you can always trust to be in your corner. I think that's something that, you know, every founder should bear in mind when raising their round.
Definitely great advice. Next question. What's the most memorable class that you've been in?
For me, it would be Modern Social Thought. It was a class I took in second year. It taught me to deconstruct ideas that I used to take for granted. It used to allow me to step back and figure out what it is that we know, breaking down into different parts and put it back together more creatively. And I think that has been key in helping me grow as an entrepreneur as well.
Well, as for me, my most memorable has to be the ethics of decision-making. That's a class in medical law. And the reason is because it taught me the importance of information, support, and quality medical advice when it comes to the area of patient autonomy and patient well-being, as well as optimal medical decision-making. And all of this sort of played a huge part in the motivation to create EASE, where there's a lot of focus on all these factors in the journey of our patients.
Those are great answers, because I've been asking this question a few times already, and I'm pretty sure those answers are unlikely to be repeated in future interviews. So yeah, my next question would be really interesting, because in our past episode, we also had the CEO of Appier, Chihan. It's a company that he also built with his wife, Winnie. And I guess a lot of founders are also, you know, or prospective founders are also thinking about like how to work with their partners, for example, if they're working on a venture together. So given that you guys are also a couple, we'd love to know what advice do you have for couples or partners working together in a startup?
Yeah, I think it's important to sort of recognize each other's efforts constantly and celebrate small and big wins. I would recommend don't take things for granted just because you know each other's capabilities. Just celebrate constantly and be excited about each other's progress.
And if I could add on to that as well, I think it's super important. I mean, whether or not, but especially if you're a couple, to take breaks and give yourself time off as colleagues in order to de-stress and refocus, because it's quite important to maintain that division between you as colleagues and you as a couple. And it's really crucial to your like health and well-being.
So still great advice, even if your co-founders aren't related to you in that way either. Still great advice. Aside to the last question for a rapid fire round, what do you do to de-stress or take care of your mental or physical health?
So I actually started running. I'm finding that it helps me de-stress for a couple 45, 50 minutes a day. It has been helping me feel more relaxed. It also helps me be more creative because when I'm like all in my zone and just running on my own, I feel like the thoughts and ideas start coming up. So I find it quite helpful for my mental health, but also for my creativity.
I mean, for myself as well, like Guada, for me, being active is really key to time off. So for me, I play a range of sports. I play like football, I play golf, I run as well. And all these sort of allow me time, a chance to take proper time off because it really refocuses the brain and separates myself away from everything else. And it's really, really helpful to reset, rest, and be refreshed, especially after a long day in the office, a long day in front of the screen.
Thanks, Guada and Rio. Final question is, anything else that you'd like to share to our audience?
Download the app.
yeah, I was going to say the same.
That was such a surprise. I wasn't expecting that message. Download their app. Both Apple and Android should be available for download. And also reach out to them if you're interested in the space and working with the team. They're definitely a dream team and it would be great to work with them if you are interested in the space. So thanks Guada and Rio for coming on the show. Thanks for guiding us on this deep dive into women's health and showing us what Ease is doing and how you're changing the lives of people who previously or traditionally would have had much more difficult time to access these kinds of healthcare and services.
Thank you
as well. Thank you so much, guys.
Stay on the line with us for more conversations with our founders and investors in the region. Until our next call, I am Paolo Aquino, and this has been On Call with Insignia Ventures.